And welcome back. And hopefully, Amy, do we still have you on the line?
I'm still here, Kev.
Thank you for hanging in with me. I apologize for the technical difficulties. I will admit, I can talk on a microphone, but I certainly don't know how to run any of this equipment. So I'm just going to be honest with you. But thanks for hanging in there. And again, we have Amy Stefanowski on the phone talking about her activity with the Masks for Heroes, as well as her involvement. She laid down some things she's involved with and out there helping support some candidates. Maybe we can get into that. I think I'm going to be seeing you folks out in the New London County area tomorrow, you and Bob. Is that correct?
We're heading to Norwich this weekend, yes.
Perfect.
And
Thank you. Visiting
with other candidates across the state all weekend. We were down in Fairfield County last weekend, and we're heading to Eastern Connecticut this weekend.
Awesome. So that's all. And I will see you out there. I actually signed up for one campaign, and it's with Caleb Espinoza.
Oh, yeah, great.
He is kicking butt. And what I mean,
good.
He's 20 years old. We've had him on the show here. He's been on, you know, several other shows in the area. I think people are amazed by this young guy who knows his way around politics better than anyone I've ever met. Actually, his age is second. He has this understanding of where things are and where they are within the political framework better than people that have been in it for 30 years. It's amazing. You're going to love talking.
He has good instincts for it.
Yeah,
nice guy, too.
He does.
Really
and
nice guy.
How are you guys doing down in that Madison? You talked about your role as basically the state central, I think you mentioned. Is that what you're doing?
Mm-hmm.
And how's it going?
And town party chair. It's good. So we have a first-term Senate incumbent here in our district. We're in the 12th senatorial district. So we have Christine Cohen is our senator. She's a new senator. She took over for Ted Kennedy in our area.
Right.
And she is so, she's rough. You know, mm-hmm. talk about there's no tax she hasn't seen that she won't support.
Mm-hmm.
So we have a really good, strong candidate in Joe LaPorta, mm-hmm. who's running, and he's doing fantastic. He has tons of support in our area. He has people coming in to help his campaign, and he's really resonating. He's truthful. He's honest. He's no nonsense, and he is really fighting for affordability in our area, and he's great. So he's doing really well. I'm excited for his opportunities. And then we have incumbent state rep Noreen Cook-Ruda, who's mm-hmm. been, I think this will be her sixth term or something like that,
mm-hmm.
and she's great. She knows our area really well and is always fighting for the residents of Madison and Durham. So she's doing really well on her campaign as well. So I'm feeling optimistic about our two candidates in our area.
Awesome.
But as we go around the state, it's just exciting to see so many strong candidates that the Republican Party has put forth this election cycle.
What are you hearing the most out there? Is it obviously the coronavirus is big, right? And economy is big. And are people talking about taxes and why they want to move? You know, are they still talking about that?
Absolutely. The number one issue we hear over and over is affordability, that people can't afford to stay in Connecticut, whether it's the taxes, whether it's their Eversource bill, whether it's their property taxes. It's just unending. And obviously our businesses are struggling. So it's a double whammy, right? Our local businesses are really struggling to come back from what was already a tough economy, and now you put the COVID on top of it. It's just really tough. So we need to make sure that people can afford to stay here and businesses can afford to stay and grow here.
Right.
And that's what we hear constantly, to be honest.
That's all good points. And, you know, it's funny, you know, we have a great candidate up here, Brian Lanoux, up where we're coming from, and Heather Summers up in this district. And, you know, this district struggles economically. I think we're so close to the Willimantic area, Windham County. And you know from the campaign with Bob that Windham County was the last to recover, not just in Connecticut, but in the country from the recession, right? And we have a lot of economic challenges. I was out in actually Willimantic, and I was helping Jessica Alba, who's running for Senate against May Flexer up there. And it was really interesting to see how she interacted with the folks. This is the first time I can tell you Jessica's never ran for anything. It's refreshing because it's someone that just got off the bench basically and said, you know, enough is enough.
Right.
She left the
serve my community.
Yeah, definitely. She left the Democratic Party to actually go over to the Republican Party. Have you been seeing a lot of that? In other words, people switching, just frustration is driving them out of the other side?
Absolutely, because most people live more in the middle. They really do.
Mm-hmm.
And they see their party is going too far to the left, and that's not how they feel. And I think we are definitely seeing a lot of that.
Awesome. And so you're obviously you guys, you know, you had quite a change when you and your husband decided that, you know, Bob's going to dive in as a gubernatorial candidate. You went from quiet little, you know, the Stefanowskis enjoying beach time and drinking your coffee on your walks.
Exactly. Yeah.
And now you're all over the place. You've made a lot of amazing new friends. But what's your favorite part about this whole process that you and your husband had, this journey where you guys are at?
There's so much. I mean, there's some days that I wish I could go back to not knowing, you know, living in my little bubble where I didn't know what I know now.
Yeah.
But it's one of those things, once you've learned, you can't unlearn and you can't unsee. Mm-hmm. And what's refreshing is there's so many amazing people in our state that want to help, that step forward to help. So Masks for Connecticut is a perfect example of that. So we were all home. COVID had just started. You know, all of us were wondering, oh my gosh, how are we going to survive this? How can I help? We started a little gift card program in our area where we were asking people to buy gift cards for our local businesses just to give them a little shot of money in the short term to help get them through this tough time. And then at the same time, all of a sudden, nobody could get masks, mm-hmm. right? And it was really a problem for hospitals and really a problem for first responders. And Bob, my husband Bob and Pat Sasser drove down to New Jersey. Some guy said he had some masks, but, you know, we're all like, yeah, right, they fall off the back of the truck. How's mm-hmm. this going to go? Mm-hmm. So they, and then it was classic. We have masks, just wire us the money.
Sure.
Bob's let me go check them out.
Yeah.
So he and Pat Sasser drove down to New Jersey and then had them verified with a hospital person who actually knows, you know, which are legit and which aren't. They were legit, and they loaded up the pickup truck thinking that, I forget how many masks, it was like 50,000. It was a good amount of masks, thinking, oh, look at us, you know, we're going to be able to really help people. They were gone in 2 days. We dropped them at two or three hospitals.
Amazing.
And they went back and back and back, and we ended up doing 1.2 million masks across the state. But it took, to finally answer your question, is it was through the network of people we had met on the campaign trail. I could pick up the phone and call Chris Bayes in Torrington and say, Chris, I need your help in that area. I can call friends in Waterbury. Mike Cirillino, can you help set up an event in Waterbury? And it was just done. I'd call you guys in Eastern Connecticut, and we had events done. It was, that's the best part, is being able to have a network of friends you could call on, and everybody said, yes, how can I help?
Amazing.
And it wasn't Bob and I. It was a massive network of people. I think we had over 75 people working. And they would get the text from me in the morning. These nursing homes called. They need, can you drop at these three nursing homes today? Can you go pick up some from a distributor? Because we would have people set up throughout the state so that if I called, we have stashes of masks all across the state so we could get them out quickly. So when I see that Ned Lamont needs to buy, you know, a 13,000 square foot facility and spend state money, Bob and I laugh and say, we did it out of the garage in a bunch of our friends' garages throughout the state. You know, it could
amazing.
Be done. It doesn't need to be done and spend all that kind of crazy money.
And you also partnered with the folks down in New Haven area. You want to talk about that partnership with the folks from, I think it was the Jewish organization?
Yeah, so the Jewish Federation of Greater New Haven. So what would happen was people would be interested in helping and donating money. And so we set up a foundation that people can then donate and support financially. So we had businesses stepping in to sponsor events, and we had private citizens stepping up very generously and supporting so that we could just keep purchasing more masks to get out there, because the need was great. It really was. Once we were able to help the hospitals and first responders, then we realized that there were senior citizens and people that didn't have the means to A, find the masks, or B, afford them. Mm-hmm. So then we started doing large drop distributions of masks. And so we needed sponsors to make sure we could keep that need supplied, and then and volunteers to help us pack them and bag them. And
how many volunteers would you have at a time? I came out to a couple of your events. I mean, you had an army of people volunteering.
We did. We were blessed with many, many volunteers at every event, because again, back in that time, we weren't leaving our houses, right? So that gave people a reason to get out, help their neighbors, and do something meaningful. And we all had a great time. It was a great experience for a lot of people. We made a lot of friends throughout that process, but many, many volunteers. We'd have people help with traffic or packing masks for the next event.
What prepared you to be involved? Because I got to say, my observation was, so I worked in the prison system for 21 years, and you certainly would have been an awesome supervisor in the correctional facility. You move people about pretty fluent. You're yelling. You're giving. You're not yelling like aggressive, but, you know, giving direction. Actually, maybe you're,
I'm not
you're more
shy,
than
Kevin.
I can tell. Maybe you need to run for governor. Maybe Bob's a lieutenant governor going forward.
Well, I'm not shy, and I'm very about the organization behind it. So Bob was really good at he would make sure we'd constantly have what we needed.
Mm-hmm.
So we had two different departments going here. I was distribution and events, and he was sourcing and helping with fundraising. So we would definitely divide and conquer, as, you know, probably a lot of relationships do. We can't both do everything. So we definitely divide up the workload, and we had different departments doing different things here.
You did amazing work. So I know I got you for, hopefully I'm going to have to do another break quick, but I'd love to come back in and just talk a little bit of politics. Is that all right? If you can stay with me. So we got about a minute and a half before we go to the break. Before that, let me just ask you a couple quick questions. Did you watch the debate last night?
I did. I watched it last night, and then I don't know how I fell asleep, but I did. And then this morning I got up and watched the rest of it. Mm-hmm. I did. Did you?
Of course. I'm addicted. This is my, I just came out of political rehab. This is what I do. But did you, and again, we'll come back after the break and some other comments. Our country's going in a direction. And I know, I think that you folks, when you were running for governor here in Connecticut, you had a feeling, and I think there's a feeling out there across this nation that we're losing grip of the country in a lot of ways. Mm-hmm. So I want to come back from the break here. We'll put you on hold. We get ready for the break, and looking forward to talking a little bit more about that. Amy Stefanowski's on the line with us, and I hope everyone stays tuned because we'll get into it with Ms. Stefanowski about her opinion. She is she's in, man. She was sitting on the sidelines, I think, a few years ago, and again, her husband jumped in, Bob Stefanowski, to run for governor, and he did it in an unconventional way, and quite frankly, I'll even get into it with Amy. I didn't think he had a chance in the beginning. And boy, did he prove me and many of us wrong. He proved to be the best candidate we could have put forward. And we're really excited. And I'm hoping like the rest of Connecticut's Republicans that, Bob Stefanowski and Amy Stefanowski are going to step up again because their leadership, not just during that time, but as just explained with the Masks for Heroes, has been second to none. And that's the kind of leadership we want. So you guys are listening to News Rocky here at the SNSN studio. I apologize for some of the technical issues in the beginning. I think we figured it out. We're trying a new platform launch here. We'll get it all worked out. But guys, we're going to go to a quick break. Stay tuned. Come back. Listen. Amy Stefanowski, News Rocky. We'll be back about 4 minutes.
Don't you worry, Kevin Schoolcheck will be back to fight more fake news in just a minute or so. Kevin is just taking a quick break, but he'll be back to fight more fake news for you. Kevin, we'll be back in just a minute. Kevin Schoolcheck is fighting the war on fake news. He'll be back to take some more on in just a couple of minutes. Keep it right here. Kevin is just taking a quick break, but he'll be back to fight more fake news for you. Kevin, we'll be back in just a minute. Thank you.
streaming live.
I love it. It's the best rock station ever.
We listen to you all the time.
Broadcasting from within our 6 feet social distance.
The Streaming News and Sports Network.
The opinions expressed on News Rocky with Kevin Schoolcheck is not necessarily those of this station, staff, management, or sponsors.
When you listen to the news, what is it that you believe and what is it that you don't believe?
I want to know what's going on, and I want to know right now.
Let's get back to News Rocky and Kevin Schoolcheck to squash some more fake news.
And you're back with News Rocky live here in the SNSN studio. We have Amy Stefanowski, our special guest, on the phone. Did you stay with us through that break?
I'm here.
Awesome. Thanks, thank you for taking the time. No, thank you. And I appreciate you taking the time out of your busy day. What do you got scheduled today? You got a walk? I know you like to do some nature walks once in a while by the water.
Well, so obviously you're following me on Facebook.
Of course.
I gained the COVID more than 19, and it snuck up on me, and I was at a doctor's appointment. And so, yeah, I'm trying. I hate exercising, though, Kevin. Yeah. It kills me. So the other day I went for a walk in the woods, which I found really creepy, to be honest. So I'm trying to find.
Well, it's Halloween. It's Halloween. You should be creeped out a little bit. Right?
I know, but so I've been trying to just try to get a little bit of exercise. But no, hopefully later today. And,
okay. Good.
A lot of campaign stuff to do, so it's campaign season right now.
That's awesome. So we were talking a little bit before that break, and we have a few minutes here to hopefully get in the weeds here. We have a major election for president of the United States here. Two different candidates, very pulverizing candidates. And actually, in many ways, with the exception of some really important ones, you know, our president now, Donald Trump, was an outsider, much like Bob Stefanowski. But also a businessman, much like Bob Stefanowski. But he's not the gentleman as Bob Stefanowski. I will put it out there. Bob is much more controlling of his tweets and his comments. So let's be clear, no comparison there. I just want to make sure we all hear that. But I think it's interesting that you find, you know, even in Connecticut, Bob came down to a really, really close race there. What was the actual numbers at the end for Bob?
I think Ned Lamont won by 44,000 votes. Which was, less than 2% of the vote,
right.
My memory serves.
Right. And I know that is, there were some people who said, oh, Bob shouldn't have, this or that, he shouldn't have conceded.
Right.
But, the fact is, I think you guys had good intel. And the obvious is, when you win, you win. When you lose, you lose. And you kind of move on to be better. What do you think on November 4th, how this country is going to react? And let's say that Joe Biden wins November 4th, and then I'll ask you the other two, Trump again. So what do you think if we wake up November 4th, and we might not know for a few days?
Yeah, that's what I was going to say. I think it's going to be a few days with all these absentee ballots still out there, and each state is trying to grapple with the volume of absentee ballots. I think it'll be a few days.
Yeah.
I'm not sure how it's going to go. For me, I feel like 1 week I feel really strongly one way or the other. I'm seeing a ton of support for President Trump in this area, for sure. We have constant truck rallies and boat rallies, and as the Madison Republican Town Committee Chair, I get requests constantly for people who aren't normally involved in politics that are interested and very supportive of the president. And so, I think he's going to do well. I think he probably will do better than he did last time.
Mm-hmm.
I think, Biden is not that – people aren't enthusiastic to turn out to vote for him, but people are very enthusiastic to turn out for President Trump. So I think it'll be interesting to see.
Do you find that there is this energy of, you just touched on, like the new generation of people who never got involved before are now interested? And again, I'm finding people who were, I guess they would call them, Kennedy Democrats or whatever, they seem like they've come full circle. They can't really handle their party politics anymore. And they're going right with the alternative, which is the businessman, the outsider. And it seems like Trump's getting that energy. Are you finding that as well?
Absolutely. And I think last night at the debate, you could see that. You could see President Trump would constantly mention. And, there were a few times where Biden wasn't sure what he would say.
Mm-hmm.
So he would go fall right into the political spin,
right,
that we all hear for years. And
right.
President Trump wasn't having it. He's like, just talk. People are tired of the politician. You've been a politician for 47 years.
Right.
They elected me. The people elected me because I'm not a politician. And I think that really does resonate with a lot of people.
You must have, like I do, a lot of great friends who are really, liberal and Democrat. And even those that are really, I love people who really kind of really hate this president. And I don't have a lot of those people, a lot more of the people I associate with, obviously, for whatever reason. But it seems like those that I do engage with, they get so angry at this president. I don't, and half the time, you know, News Rocky, this whole concept of the show is kind of attacking fake news and news. And the media drives information. I think you and you've experienced this. You and your husband experienced this. Media can drive a conversation one way or the other with a bits or pieces, or you know, taking a comment here or there and kind of running with it. Do you find that that's maybe the major problem here? It's really that divide of the media in this country.
I think there's both. We see that in our state, that most people in the state don't even know who their local state rep or state senator is, and that's, I put that on the media as well, that they don't give enough attention to what's happening in Hartford, and absolutely, and I think that we don't get a fair shake in the media, the conservative voice.
I mean, did you, I got to tell you, I talked about it yesterday on my show and a couple times this week, the Hartford Current editorial endorsement of Joe Biden basically came out and said, if you're voting for Donald Trump in the state of Connecticut, you're a racist, and this is why. You know, that's such a division, right? I mean, it's how does a news...
And that's a powerful voice. I mean, that's to use your voice for something like that, and then they turn around and say that the Republicans are divisive.
Right. That's exactly where I was leading. Thank you, Amy, because that's exact... it's a perfect... It's a conversation. It's a conversation. This is what we do here. So it's a perfect conversation piece, because the next thing is it's really kind of overwhelming how contradictory these people can be when it comes to their anger, right? It's like they're blinded. And I think an example last night when Trump was debating with Biden, he would ask a question and Biden, like you said, goes right back into political mode. Hands come up and he's doing the political thing and looking in the camera. He's a professional politician and people are just tired. We'd have enough of that. We can't take it anymore. That's my feeling.
We can't. And our nation really needs better. And I think the people that you were describing, friends that can't vote for Trump. I think if you ask them, can you please separate Trump the person, please, from Trump the policy? Mm-hmm. And let's talk about that. But they really struggle to do that, and they can't see the difference. Whereas somehow you're supposed to vote for Biden because he's nicer. Well, that's a double standard. It's either going to be one or the other. Are you voting for the person or are you voting for the policy?
Agreed.
Take a minute and really look at how each candidate will handle certain issues and really not the person, but their policies, and then think about it that way.
Great point.
Sometimes that's the best I can do with people when they're really kind of worked up about it. And is about trying to separate.
Yeah, you got to have a PhD in therapy today. You got to be a therapist out there on the campaign trail, because people are angry. And you know, honestly, I've had people who are Trump supporters yell at me just because they're so wound up as well. And I think a lot of this, you know, media driven stuff. So
people are frustrated on both sides. They're really frustrated. And when you're frustrated and you feel like nobody's listening to you and nobody's, I think that's what we're seeing is this large amount of frustration.
100%. So we're good. You've got about 4 minutes before the segment ends and I'm not going to take much more of your day. I look forward to seeing you guys out in Norwich tomorrow. So let me ask you, in Connecticut, you made some comments earlier about, you know, Ned Lamont and, you know, his inability to, he's got to buy a building now and he's going to do this and do that. Mm-hmm. You know, are you in any way, and this is, you know, are you upset or are you disappointed that you're you and Bob aren't in the seat of Connecticut's leadership and kind of, are you excited maybe for another opportunity?
So I'm very frustrated. Yes. When I watch the decisions that are made, the money that is spent, the pay raises that are given out, the things like that. Yes. Because I know Bob would have had a very different approach to how he would have handled our state's economy, our jobless, all the job losses, all the businesses. I know it would have been different. So yes, that's frustrating. The question then becomes what's going to happen next. And Bob and I, it's fair to say, talk about it often. So it's definitely a topic we discuss a lot, and we will be looking forward to making a decision on soon.
Yeah, well, I will tell you that I've already committed to if Bob decides, I'm on Bob's team. So I know that might might upset a few of my really good friends that are still out there making decisions on what they're going to do. But I'll tell you clearly, and I kind of talked on this, you know, I watched Bob through the process. Quite frankly, I didn't think there was a chance in hell that he was going to, you know, make it through that process, because he did not use the normal route.
Meaning the primary process?
Yeah, exactly. Mm-hmm. And he was brilliant. I remember walking by him at Foxwoods.
did you come in and eat with us?
I did not, because I was actually there and I was working with Tim at the time.
Okay.
Gotcha. And I was there through the process and I just got to understand and, you know, obviously just meeting him. And I was like, wow, you know what? This is exactly the kind of politician that I can get behind. And, you know, it's quite obvious that he has a great backbone in you and a balance in his way he handles people. And anyone out there that hasn't had a chance to speak to either Amy or Bob Stefanowski, I'll tell you this. They're the most approachable people that I've ever witnessed in politics, you know. And so I just think you guys, this is the kind of thing. If you're the governor and if you guys are in the governor's house, I know for a fact you're going to recognize people, shake their hand and talk to everybody, where I don't think that's kind of the typical thing in politics here.
Well, I mean, that's probably because we're definitely not politicians. If anything, you know, you define Bob to be an amazing public servant. He's just, right. He's a good person. He really has a big heart. He's smart, and he does have a strong backbone, but he's also just a super great guy. So it would be a privilege.
Yeah, well, we're going to hope that energy goes that way. So winding down last 2 minutes, I just want to say thank you to you. And here's my deal. I'm not going to have Bob Stefanowski on until he announces, but I'm going to welcome you back anytime. See, Bob gets all the attention and all the, but we all know you're the backbone of the Stefanowski house.
He was very jealous that I got asked first.
Yeah, well, so, okay. He's going to get in line. I will definitely. I'll negotiate through our negotiators with him after he announces.
through our people. Basically, me and you.
Yeah, exactly. But I hope that you'll consider coming back on, and we're going to get better. We're hoping to maybe grow this platform and not just be a voice here in southeastern Connecticut, but we have actually people listening online throughout the country, people that I know, and we're hoping to build this News Rocky show. So will you be a participant once in a while? I'm going to put you on the stage here.
It'd be my pleasure.
Oh, that's awesome, Amy. So thank you so much.
And good luck with everything. And again, thank you for all you did during the mask. You helped us with the hand sanitizer and getting us. That was vital at the time. So you were a huge part, and we really appreciate it. You were in there right in the beginning with us.
Well,
and,
it was my pleasure.
Everything.
It was my pleasure. All right. I will see you guys tomorrow.
Great.
Thank you so much, Amy, for your time
bye,
today.
Kevin.
See you, Bob.
Take care.
Bye. All right, guys. Well, that was Amy Stefanowski, and an interesting conversation right there in regards to the perspective of the the Connecticut governor and his wife could have been sitting in this office right now rather than Ned Lamont and his wife. And I will tell you, the way that they handled the masks for heroes, I think Amy and Bob proved they are ready to roll their sleeves up, get out there, not just for purposes of a vote, but really because it's the right thing to do. So I want to thank Amy. We're going to be coming back. We'll have Maria not coming on the line from Back the Blue. You're listening to News Rocky today. Having a great show on Friday. We're going to get into the whole debate too, guys. So stay tuned, stay with us, and stay in the ring with News Rocky.
Don't you worry, Kevin Schoolcheck will be back to fight more fake news in just a minute or so. Kevin has just taken a quick break, but he'll be back to fight more fake news for you. Kevin, we'll be back in just a minute. Kevin Schoolcheck is fighting the war on fake news. He'll be back to take some more on in just a couple of minutes. Keep it right here.
Kevin has just taken a quick break, but he'll be back to fight more fake news for you. Kevin, we'll be back in just a minute.
Listen online or on our app.
Yesterday's best rock today.
Can't get enough of it.
Yesterday's best rock today.
The opinions expressed on News Rocky with Kevin Schoolcheck is not necessarily those of this station, staff, management, or sponsors.
And welcome back. Welcome back to News Rocky, coming to you live here from the SNSN studio in downtown Jewett City. Looking forward to building this program into something that people turn to every day as a news source. We do take on the fake news of the day, the news of the day, and we also try to have some interesting callers every now and then. And I think that last caller there was amazing that we got the inside sort of view from Amy Stefanowski, of course, her husband, who ran for the Republican nomination for the Republican governor's race, that he actually had a very close race. It came in really close there with Ned Lamont, as we talked about. And we're all hoping, I know I am, that Bob Stefanowski and Amy decide that they're going to jump back into it. And they're out doing some great things in Connecticut, helping people. The one thing I'll give to that to the Stefanowskis is they didn't go away crying. They didn't put their tail between their legs. They basically said, okay, what can we do? And they've been doing it during this Masks for Heroes campaign. They've been running. I mean, they just rolled their sleeves up and did it. And it's pretty amazing to witness. I've been a part of it. I really commend them for all they've done. And think they're going to be great leaders for Connecticut going forward. So the debate last night was quite interesting, right? So we have this debate between Biden and obviously the president of the United States. And the bombshell, I think, if you look at it from any perspective, any point of view, was I think it's the Hunter Biden issue. And I think when you look at what's going on right now across this country, people don't trust politics. They don't trust politicians. They don't trust the political system. They have a lot of reasons why not to. And what say you? I mean, if you have an issue with the politicians that are serving you, you have a chance to vote for them every, 2 years, 4 years, whatever. And you can obviously make your voice heard then. But I think actually it's quite interesting. I think that Trump actually said something last night to Biden that the reason he ran was because of you. You remember when he said that, guys? He said, I ran because of you. I ran because you and Barack Obama inspired me to give back to my country. And, you know, quite frankly, you could take that to the next level. Many of the more socialist representatives in Congress today, Tlaib, AOC, we can go down the list of a few of them. The Bernie Sanders side of politics, the socialist side, were sort of inspired by Donald Trump to run, right? So it's like this inspiration, and this is how the founding fathers, I think, put this whole thing together, you know, for the people, by the people. It was never designed for career politicians. Guys, listen, if you're listening right now and you're sitting here and you're going to tell me that fake news is all about Trump's the only fake news guys out there, you're just disingenuous. You're not listening. You're not reading, and you're not being genuine if you just take what you're hearing on the national news networks. Because quite honestly, we just talked about it with Amy. You know, look at what the Hartford Courant did this past week. When they announced that you are a racist if you vote for Trump and this is why, that is the most low, underhanded misuse of media that I could even imagine. And I think it's kind of a telling, it's a telling sign of the times. This is how the sheep are guided. And unfortunately, we as politically, enthusiasts, myself and the folks that I'm typically in communication with, and then the folks that are out there like, well, I just vote when I have to vote. We don't really get into the nitty gritty of things. And I think that both sides of the party have Republican and Democrat, the career politicians have finally, once and for all, been exposed. What do you guys think about the term limits issue? I know I've brought it up several times, and I know Deb Fletcher, my good friend from Voluntown, will counter that and say you have term limits because you vote on them. But I think there's something said, but there's so much dark money that helps these individuals get into office for special interests that you can't beat someone like a Joe Courtney if you don't have $2.5 million. You know, to run for Congress right now in the second congressional district here in Connecticut against Congressman Joe Courtney, you'd need about $2.5, $3 million to actually run a race. You know, he's got Justin Anderson who's running against him, and credit to Justin for stepping up, and thank you, and throw love and support to him. But the odds are that, you know, the money machine, the Democratic money machine, who's been raising money for a long time, and they can stockpile it for their emergencies and for their wars, and they'll spend it. You know, and one thing I'll tell you as an insider in the Republican Party, is cheap, 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 cheap. We don't spend money. Maybe it's our fiscal responsibility side of the house, but we're cheap. And when you see campaigns that are out there doing the best they can, using every dollar, we unfortunately don't see the money being spent in comparison to what Democrats are spending. And that is a big issue, I think, as well, that if people want change, they're going to have to start to really invest in that change. And that's going to be part of that concept going forward. You know, Trump also touched upon some other things last night with regards to just how Obamacare, right? And did you guys listen to what Joe Biden said? Did you listen? Did you hear what he said? It's going to be Biden care. So this guy is so narcissistic in his political, you know, sort of mantra that he was able to straight face look at you and say, I fought for Obamacare for 8 years because it's the best thing in the world. But now I'm going to fix it, guys. I'm going to fix it. It's going to be called Biden care. We're going to have Biden care. Are you going to fall for the banana in the tailpipe? Guys, if you're that silly to believe that kind of bull, then you are honestly living with your heads in the sand. Honestly, living with your heads in the sand. There's no way. If you listen to what this clown's saying, and by the way, he used the word clown with the president, so I'm going to use it with him. What this clown was saying last night, he was basically saying, look, I'm going to fix these problems. I know they're a problem. We're going to fix them. When a politician tells you that they're going to vote on a law, pass a law, do this, but we're going to fix it down the road, let me tell you, that is such insider politics, guys. It is the exact thing that politicians think like. It's just like, let's get it by today and let's go have a cocktail and we'll get back to it next term. We'll make sure we fix that problem. Just keep putting me in office, guys. Keep trusting me. Keep trusting me 47 years later. Just keep voting for me because I'm your guy. And how many times can this the presidential candidate, Joe Biden, I'm from a small town in Pennsylvania, and I did this, and you've been in Washington, D.C. for 47 years, man. That's what you've been doing, man. That's all you've been doing, man, on taxpayers' money. And by the way, when Trump brought up last night, guys, did you catch this? When Trump said, hey, did you see when he said, well, you became very rich, 47 years in office on government taxpayers' money, this guy has become a multi-millionaire. Now, some of you are going to say, well, who cares? But think about it. He's serving office. He should be the most humblest individual. If he had money going in, God bless him. If he can make money legally through the system, God bless him. But he's been a career politician for 47 years, and all his money was made while he was serving the taxpayers of this country. Are you kidding me? Are you kidding me, really, that you can condone that? If you really have that ability in your mind to think that that's an appropriate thing, why don't you say, hey, Just why don't you say this then? I don't care what Joe Biden's done. I don't care if he gets caught with a smoking gun. I don't care if his son was. I don't care. I'm just going to vote for Biden. Please, somebody step up and tell me. A Democrat, just say, I don't care. I hate Trump so much. I hate my country so much. I'm still going to choose Biden because he's better. Because that's what you're saying. Liberal Democrats, listen, that's what you're saying. You're saying you're going to accept this lying, trash, piece of crap who's been in office for 47 years, who's lied to us time after time. If you don't see a politician when he speaks, what do you see? You see hope and promise? You see hope and promise? Okay, the other guy, vulgar, to the point, not a politician, whatever way you want to put it, he's a product of the frustration of this country. And I'm going to tell you, the silent majority is standing up. And you're going to be surprised. So you guys are out there crying and complaining. November 4th is going to be a telling day. Now, hey, Trump could lose. Even Trump said it last night. Right now, you're on News Rock. You're going to come back from this break. I'm fired up. I'm going to go get some ice. Chill out a minute. Please stay tuned. News Rock is coming back in about 5.
The flagship for Griswold High School sports and your home for local news and weather.
Broadcasting from Main Street, the borough of Druid City.
The Streaming News and Sports Network, SNSN.
Streaming 24/7.
Saluting our healthcare professionals.
Thank you. The Streaming News and Sports Network.
The opinions expressed on News Rocky with Kevin Schoolcheck is not necessarily those of this station, staff, management, or sponsors.
Well, again, I guess I just came back a little quicker. That was a short break, guys, so thank you for coming back. Looks like we're going to continue on for a few on this whole topic of last night. I was just fired up. I'm getting some messages and some of the fans out here, some of the people that are loving what I'm doing. Guys, I want to just talk about this. I want to speak to you straight for a minute. I want you to listen, and I want you to just please, at any time, call in 860-591-1054. Love to hear your perspective. Fine, Joe Biden might be a good human. Joe Biden might be a nice guy. He might be the best 47-year serving politician in the world. He might be the best Christian. He might be the best, however he wants to claim himself to be. I don't really know, and I quite frankly don't care. All I can tell you is this, is if you complain, if you're not happy with your system of government, if you don't feel connected to your government, and listen, the things that have been going around, if you didn't listen to the debate last night, or if you haven't listened to the conversation during these debates or the conversation surrounding this election, the fake promises, talk about fake news. You're listening to News Rocky. We talk about fake news and news of the day. And the fake news that the media helps perpetuate from the government-controlled policymakers in Washington, D.C., has been regurgitated year after year after year. You look around this country, and the president brought it up last night during the debate, the Democratic-controlled cities across this country, those are where the hotbed of problems are. And by the way, this problem didn't happen the day Donald Trump got elected. George Floyd didn't happen the day Donald Trump got elected. This whole narrative has been building for years, and it's been an attempt by control party politicians on the left side to try to take control. And they go into their inner cities, in these big cities, and this is not a racial comment. This is a factual comment. They fail their people. They fail their people each and every time. Governor Cuomo in New York, in participation with Blasio, these guys are the greatest example, the hotbed of COVID. And the deflection from Joe Biden when COVID was coming up and how Donald Trump commented in regards to that, the failures that these individuals have done in the city of New York, the people who have died because of their failures, yet the liberal Democrats and liberal media just forget about it. They don't even listen to it. They don't want to hear it because, you know what? They put their head in the sand because all they care about is getting reelected and getting control and power in Washington, D.C. And guys, enough is enough is enough. You got to stand up. You got to step up. You got to be ready to say, no, I'm not going to do it anymore. You got to say, you got to fight for people. Sometimes you got to step up and fight for people who don't want to fight for themselves. So I feel right now, News Rocky is asking all the News Rocky people listening, let's step up, even for our great friends who are across the aisle or across the aisle from this conversation, the people who are liberal and Democrats who say, I'm going to vote for Biden anyways, because I just don't like how Donald Trump acts. He's just not nice. And he's not nice. I don't care if he's nice. He's my boss. I want my boss to not be nice. I want my boss to be somebody who's going to come in, clean things up and get it done so I know I have a job tomorrow. See, that's the whole thing you guys don't realize. You've been lied to by Democratic-controlled liberals who have been keep feeding you crap year after year. We're going to take care of it. 47 years, we're going to take care of it. I'm going to fix Obamacare. It's going to be Bidencare. It's going to be a new thing. It's going to be great. It's going to be great. Just, hey, vote for me. Here we are. Love Pennsylvania. Love you. Yep, good time. How about fracking? How the frack are you? You want to do some fracking? Now, this was an interesting one. Biden said on every occasion he's going to stop fracking. Last night, stumbling, mumbling Joe I didn't say that. Put it on your website, President. Joe, you did say it. You said it 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. You've been saying it for years. Your running mate, Kamala Harris, said it. You're a liar. You're a liar. Joe Biden's a liar. A politician liar. Guys, wake up. It's getting old. I'm getting pumped up in here, too. I'm starting to get a little hot. I think it's time for, obviously, for a new direction for this country. And by the way, there are some great, great Democrats that are out there. People who every day step up and they make great decisions and they're doing the best thing they can for their people. And I'm not criticizing those people. There's a lot of great Democrats, okay? But the party on the national level has been so entrenched with Hollywood, with the media, with power brokers throughout the country, the George Soros involvement. If you guys, you want to wonder why the plumber, the mechanic, the guy who gets up every day, or the woman who gets up every day and teaches, the police officer that the Liberal Party and the Democrats, including Joe Biden, turn his back on, the police in this country, the people who provide the security and safety for us to be able to live in a safe society, they're now the enemy because the Liberal Party and Joe Biden say that? Guys, you got to start thinking for yourself. You're not thinking for yourself. You know what? You're fixated on someone who does not speak nicely. I get it. He's not the nicest guy in the world. Okay? I personally don't, it doesn't bother me, but I worked in a prison system. Maybe I'm a little more coarse than you. Maybe I can handle that conversation. You can't. Well, if you're that sensitive, turn the volume off, but do the reading, do the research, and don't just read the Hartford Courant, who lies, the fake news trash paper in Hartford, Connecticut. Don't watch CBS or NBC. Don't watch Fox News for that matter. Do your own research. Read, try to get your information from multiple sources and put it together. And unfortunately, in the world we live in, that is the sad part about it. I can't tell you how much I am frustrated to know that this governor, or excuse me, this president has been fighting for this country. Yes, Maria, you can call in right now. I got Maria not getting ready to call in here and get her ready for her segment. And she's with Back to Blue. And I just can't understand for the life of me why we in this country are not more interested in having people. Listen, I got to, Maria, call 860-591-1054. That's a shout out to Maria Knott. She's calling in. Hopefully she'll be calling in a minute. We'll be talking about Back to Blue. This president has stood up and answered questions. I mean, race was not a big deal last night, but I will tell you that it's definitely something that most people want to hear from the president. They want to know what his stand is on race. And it's been an amazing amazing journey to watch these debates. I think the debates themselves have been very, very interesting to the extent of entertaining, but they're the same old regurgitated crap. They're the same old crap you get from every time a politician like Joe Biden gets on the up there and he talks and he says, oh yeah, you know what? I'm going to fix this problem. How can anyone in their good mind believe a guy who's been in office for 47 years is going to fix a problem that he created? How can you say that? How can you honestly be genuine enough to say that that is the facts? Can you really say that to me? Can you really honestly answer me? I just want to hear an answer from somebody. Somebody tell me, what is the actual answer to that question? You can tell me that you believe Joe Biden is your president. You can call me, please. 860-591-1054. Lines are open. Comment about it. Send me a message. Tell me how Joe Biden's your guy. How can you keep taking the lies after lies? And I don't know. Last night was a great example, I think, of hearing someone who is a really good career politician kind of just answer the questions. And by the way, I want to give another shout out. The moderator was phenomenal. She did an amazing job. I think she needs a lot of credit. I did read that possibly, I think the numbers, the stats on the button, I think it was hit 22 times to mute Donald Trump and about 2 for Biden. And quite frankly, Donald Trump does talk over, so she did a great job. I think she deserves a lot of credit. There's no denying that moderator had a tough position to be in. She had 2 really dominating personalities. But did anyone notice Joe looked a little tired? I mean, I know he's old and I'm not going to pick on his age, but he looked tired. He looked tired and he looked exhausted and he looked sickly. He almost honestly looked like he was high or something. I don't know what. I mean, maybe he was just tired, you know, from all the running around. At his age, it's not easy. But, you know, he goes into the punch drunk boxer mode where what I mean by that is he's a stereotypical politician. He knows exactly how to play the game. And that's exactly what he did each and every time. It's really, really interesting to me that people, when I went on to some of the sites afterwards, that we just kind of heard all this regurgitation of, well, I don't care how bad he did. I don't care if he's guilty. I don't care if Hunter Biden is guilty. Worse, I'm still going to vote for him. How can you do that? That is so disingenuous. The same critique you give to the president of the United States, the same way that you critique him, you now are giving a pass to your guy. Well, that's genuine. That's rich. That's really a telling sign for an individual who can sit there and throw all these comments, all this negative, Trump is the evilest thing and he did this. And yes, he's done some stupid things. We had a great call yesterday with Kathleen Stauffer, and we talked about when he acted like a fool and he imitated a reporter who was handicapped. That was stupid. When he put a Bible in his hand, it was stupid. It was stupid, guys. It wasn't smart. It wasn't smart to do. And whoever was advising him, and I don't quite frankly think he takes advice. But I don't care about that. I really don't. Because I know one thing. If we keep giving this country back to the political insiders, we're going to lose the country. You're going to lose the future for your children. You're going to lose the future you think you were promised with your retirement, with your Social Security. You cannot keep giving money away. We're going to get into a lot of topics here. Hopefully, Maria Knott, you're going to call 860-591-1054. Hopefully you can call in after the break here. Looks like we have at least one break coming up, and then we'll get back on the air, start talking about some more politics. If Maria calls in, we'll get onto that. We do also have state rep candidate Ernestine Holloway, who is going to call in and talk about her race out there, I believe, in the Middletown area. We'll get an update from her and understand where she is fighting for her position, as well as her opinion of what's going on currently in Connecticut and in the presidential race as well. Interesting stuff. Guys, this is News Rocky. I'm a little wound up. It's Friday. I hope I don't sound like I'm all over the place, although I think I kind of do. Definitely going to keep focused on the debate, talk with you guys about that. I appreciate you tuning in. Giving us a chance here to build this program called News Rocky, taking on fake news and news of the day. I will say this. I don't mean to hurt anybody's feelings, but if you're voting for Biden, then you're living with your head in the sand. Stay tuned. Be back in about 4 minutes, I think.
Take that, fake news. Kevin's back in just a minute.
tested for Corona. Sipping a Corona.
Casting online.
SNSN.
The opinions expressed on News Rocky with Kevin Schoolcheck is not necessarily those of this station, staff, management, or sponsors.
Hey, fake news. You're going down.
Judge my physical and mental my physical as well as my mental fitness.
Now back to News Rocky and Kevin Schoolcheck.
Welcome back. Welcome back to News Rocky. Hey, we're going to stay on this theme as we're waiting for some call-ins, but I want to get back to something about this debate. Guys, the one key point I want to say to you is the president was challenged on energy last night, green energy. He clearly stated why he has concerns. You know, okay, the birds, he's concerned about birds. I don't really buy it on Trump's side if he's not concerned about birds. But what he is concerned about is smart technology. And one thing I'll tell you in green energy, guys, you got to be careful because green energy is always incentive to do green energy. It's called tax credits, right? And a lot of major corporations out there, guys, this is how they make millions and billions of dollars off of these new industries. And I think the president's pause and caution on some of these new industries is appropriate. Wind industry is a great solution. I think it's a great opportunity. But we need to do it smartly. You can't just think that's going to be the ultimate solution. And I love the fact, guys, if you listen to anything last night, the obvious is this. Donald Trump clearly has given us an independence on fossil fuel that we've never had before in our country. Not once. He's done it. He did it. He set that tone last night. And unfortunately, when he was trying to say that, the moderator really didn't catch on to the response from Donald Trump. And quite frankly, he was it was being overwhelmed by Biden's attempt to attack on Trump. But you know what Biden did last night? He put himself into a situation today where, let me tell you, the biggest corporations in this country are sitting there scratching their head right now. And any support that he thinks he had with the fuel industry, with green energy industry, the way he was so confused, and I'm referring to Joe Biden about what he was talking about. He actually said he's putting the fossil fuel industry out of business under his administration. So we're not going to be able to get gas, guys. You might as well start converting. I think I recommend all the News Rocky fans go out and get electric cars. You're not going to be able to get fuel because under the Joe Biden world, there'll be no fuel gas pumps being filled. He's going to get rid of fracking, although he said he didn't say that. We had all the stuff out there. I think the president handled that question, that debate, that part of the debate very, very well. I think he put Joe Biden in a position. And actually, I was listening to Lindsey Graham last night, and Lindsey Graham's response was exactly that. I caught that as well, and it was really a highlight because the president right now has really answered the problem when it came to our country being dependent on foreign oil. And he's been able to do some amazing things. And that's why, you know, OPEC and the GP, all these things are in place because of some of the efforts early on. And, you know, the president touched on the steel industry. Guys, the Chinese steel industry, think about it. Why do you think Toyotas, and I got a Toyota pickup, why do you think they fall apart? Why do you think they fall apart? Why do you think all this cheap metal that's been out there in the country has been repurposed metal? China is the repurposing capital of the world. You know, up to a few years ago, we were exporting all our crap there. Anything you could think of, anything from solar panels, everything, China would take it, and they would use it and obviously repurpose it for something else. But the point is this: look, Joe Biden himself was definitely someone who supported all these things before in his 47 years. Now he's going to fix it. And now he's going to, you know, try to give everything the good old American comeback here. He's got all the answers to the problem. He certainly can really talk the talk as a politician, but he definitely has a problem when it comes to performing. Cause I think if you look at his performance, his track record is probably the most obvious thing that anyone should be voting on. Don't vote on Joe Biden, the candidate right now. Vote on Joe Biden, the track record. So Let me ask all my Democratic friends out there and Republican friends, take the name off the top, write your top 10 priorities on a piece of paper, 10 things that mean something to you, 10 things that matter to you. Take those 10 things and look at them. Look at the president's career, his 4 years in office. Answer those questions. Then compare Joe Biden in those same 10, those same categories. All right? If you find 6 out of 10 things that make sense to you, then you have a presidential candidate you can vote for. Got a caller in here, and I think we have, is this Maria?
Then compare Joe Biden in those same 10.
Hello?
Hello?
Who is this?
Tandree.
Hey, turn me off. I can't hear you in the background. I don't want to hear that voice. I just like talking, Tans. What's going on?
What's going on, Kevin?
I'm fired up today. I usually drink a Red Bull, but I didn't today. I didn't need it. I'm wired.
I see that.
Good times, though. Did you watch a debate?
Yeah.
What'd you think?
Well, it definitely swayed where I was going, and I'm a Democrat. I'm proud to say I'm a Democrat, and watching that debate last night, I know which way I'm going to vote.
Do you want to share with us?
Sure. I'm honestly going to vote for Trump.
Amazing. So you as a Democrat, a lifelong Democrat, your decision was you really waited to that last debate. You took in the information and you're sitting here today. This is a revelation, guys. Listen, News Rocky listeners, listen to what you have to say. Tanj, tell us why that matters.
It was how the debate went. Biden seemed really flustered. Trump was more precise and on point when the questions were asked. You know what? Trump's long-winded. We all know this. A lot of politicians are long-winded. But he really swayed me for his vote. I mean, just everything that was discussed. Mm-hmm.
Did you find that the same old political responses from Biden maybe turned you off a little bit, like the standard, you know, the looking in the camera, the pointing the finger, the I'm going to fix it. How did you feel actually about Obamacare being renamed Bidencare? What did you think about that comment?
Yeah, I have mixed reviews with the whole Obamacare, and I think I will always have mixed reviews with that. Mm-hmm. But Biden I'm very disappointed in that debate. Mm-hmm. Biden really failed.
He did. And so,
as a Democrat.
Right. No, I appreciate you kind of opening up for the listeners today. And so on the phone, we have my good friend and former colleague I worked in corrections with. And it's pretty safe to say, Tanj, you and I didn't agree on everything. Is that correct?
Yeah.
There was days that we probably didn't even want to talk to each other when we worked together. Is that correct?
Correct.
And, you know, that being said, there was one thing I wanted to, this is why I bring it up. No matter what, in the career we were in, and I think this is, we can adapt this to any career or any pathway for a job, is you still have each other's back. You still get in, you get up every day, you disagree with somebody, it doesn't matter what your political views are, we go and do our job. In this country, I want to ask you how you feel. In this country, we've become so divisive that I almost think a liberal Democrat would drive by someone that had a Trump shirt on if they were drowning and they would not help. That's how it is. I mean, that's...
Yeah, it's pretty sad. I mean, honestly, people, there's so much hate and discontent in this world. It's sad. Right. This country is sad. And you know what? The other countries are laughing at us.
Right. They are. And it's actually lowering our standard of what we expect for ourselves. And like you said, with the rest of the country, what do you think, how much impact is Joe Biden's son, Hunter Biden, with your decision? Or was it just strictly the debate?
No, I'm curious to see what that whole Babalusky has to say.
Babalusky, that's really a great name, isn't it? Babalusky, yeah. I love the name.
it piqued my interest, and I'm like, because I really think Biden had a lot of play with the son in that.
Right. He was called the big, what was he called, the big guy?
Yes.
The big guy. You're going to take care of the big guy. I think Trump was, you know, give Trump one credit. He's a guy who's a master, you know, when it comes to master at debates and a master at, I almost called him a master debater, and that wouldn't sound good, but I almost called him that. But he is a master when it comes to controlling a conversation. I think he was really well behaved last night. And quite frankly, what'd you think of the moderator? I think she did an awesome job.
Oh, moderator was fantastic. She's probably the best moderator I've seen.
She should be the moderator going forward. And if not, she should be teaching moderators. She really stuck to the topic. She, you know, you could see passion in her eyes when she spoke, but you know what? She stayed so professional. I just want to say she finished it for me. I was just so happy and give her credit. And I don't know how her news network is so happy with her, because they always try to push, I think, some agenda stuff. But I thought that was a big part. So what was your thing out of the entire debate? If there was a takeaway, winding down to about 2 minutes and 15 seconds, what do you think is the biggest thing that changed your mind last night from a Democrat to a Republican to vote for Trump?
God, there was so much. The fracking was huge. A lot of people don't realize what fracking is.
Right.
Definitely huge. Pennsylvania needs to wake up. There's so many, you know, to narrow it down.
I think Pennsylvania's awoken today. They heard their guy say, basically he lied, he's going to put fracking out of business no matter what.
Right. Right.
What about the fuel issue? And when President Trump basically said, look, I've done more for the fuel and for the surplus than any other president, that makes a big difference. And the Vice President Biden said, I'm going to basically put the oil industry out of business through that same comment with fracking.
Yeah, overall, I was not impressed with Biden. It just seemed like he kept wanting to go back around and go to the same issue. Mm-hmm. It's an overall. You want to run this country.
Right.
You know what? You got to think about everything going on.
He didn't answer questions, did he? And to me, we're down to about a minute 10. So I just to follow up, I mean, I'd be more than happy to, if you want to stay on the line for the break, or if you want to call back, or you want to just end the conversation here. But I just want to say, yes or no. If Biden was more presidential, if he was sort of the guy that you wanted to be your president, say he answered things correctly, would you be voting Democrat this November 3rd?
I would probably still be in limbo.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Interesting. So we have a lot on the line here this November 3rd. It's going to be a big election. Final thoughts as I go to the break with you from News Rocky.
Thank you.
Thank you, Tanisha. Please call in. You know what? I love your perspective. I love your energy, and thank you for calling in. You're listening to News Rocky, guys. Listen, we take call-ins from anybody, 860-591-1054. We're having a good show today. We're getting into it. We're tearing it up, as they say, just trying to have a good time. I hope that you are happy with the show and where it's going. News Rocky's coming to you live from SNSN Studio in downtown Jewett City. It's downtown Jewett City because I have construction on Main Street behind me right now. So if you're hearing this noise, it's because that's what's behind me. Stay tuned. Come back to News Rocky in a minute.
Don't you worry, Kevin Schoolcheck will be back to fight more fake news in just a minute or so. Kevin has just taken a quick break, but he'll be back to fight more fake news for you. Kevin, we'll be back in just a minute. Kevin Schoolcheck is fighting the war on fake news. He'll be back to take some more on in just a couple of minutes. Keep it right here.
Kevin is just taking a quick break, but he'll be back to fight more fake news for you. Kevin, we'll be back in just a minute.
Broadcasting from within our 6 feet social distance.
The Streaming News and Sports Network.
The opinions expressed on News Rocky with Kevin Schoolcheck is not necessarily those of this station, staff, management, or sponsors.
When you listen to the news, what is it that you believe and what is it that you don't believe?
I want to know what's going on, and I want to know right now.
Let's get back to News Rocky and Kevin Schoolcheck to squash some more fake news.
You're tuning in to News Rocky here. We are coming to you live from the SNSN studio, downtown Jewett City, part of the Helms Media Group, and just happy it's a Friday. We're going over that debate. Had a great call in there from Tanj. Thank you. Had Amy Stefanowski on earlier, and I believe we have our next caller, State Representative candidate, Ernestine Holloway, who I believe I did meet out at one function for the Republican Party. Ernestine, you're on the phone.
Hello, how are you? Good morning, everybody, or good afternoon.
Oh, good morning. And yeah, it's sort of, you know, we're still not 12 o'clock yet. For summer, they're just getting out of bed right now from the COVID, you know, sort of sleep schedule. But good morning and good afternoon to you down in, what district are you actually in down in Connecticut?
I'm running in the 82nd House District.
82nd House District. And currently, who is serving in that district, Ernestine?
Mike Stelps.
Okay.
And from Middlefield, and Mike Quinn, the Democrat, and I'm running myself on the Republican, running on the independent ticket.
Perfect. So, Ernestine, thank you for taking a call today with us on News Rocky, and this is a new show we're starting here, and I know I'm going to be tuning into some of the stuff you do as well, and I'm going to ask you a few questions before we get into kind of talking about where we can find you. Why are you running? Why in the heck are you running for office in Connecticut for the state rep's position in the 82nd? What made you do this?
I feel that the people are being cheated. And I was told by the way, I grew up in New York City, in Brooklyn, down in Williamsburg. And I grew up on an advisory board that was ran by the African-American mayor, David Dinkins. He was the borough president, mm-hmm. and I was on his advisory board, and he had a saying, the big ones take care of the little ones. And then I also went to a church in Brooklyn. Mm-hmm. It's the largest inner-city sidewalk Sunday school, Metro Ministries, called Metro Worldwide Kids, under Pastor Bill Wilson. And he said this, it's easier to build boys and girls than to repair men and women. And I figured I could just talk the talk like they do on Facebook, or walk the walk, or do both. You're either part of the solution or the problem. So I want to be part of the solution.
Awesome. That's a great energy. And so you served under then not Mayor Dinkins then, but he eventually went on to be Mayor Dinkins. And so you've been involved with a little bit of the sort of the outside or sort of involved in government. But you've never actually held office at this point until this, hopefully this election is going to turn that around.
I grew up in public housing in Brooklyn, Bushwick Houses.
Okay.
And I started politics at 10.
Oh, geez. Okay. We'll talk about it.
I used to go to the community board meetings and ask questions. And I remember Mother Sampson. She was the head of the PTA at 147. Mm-hmm. They said to her, could you tell her to be quiet? She said, nah, honey. That little girl asked him big questions. And my question was to Vito Lopez. He was, I think he was Greek. Mm-hmm. And he switched his last name to a Spanish last name
yep.
in the door to check their pockets because they are thieves. That's why they're in jail. He's going to answer my question.
Uh-huh.
And so I asked Victor Robles, could you please tell that man to answer my question? It's rude not to answer little girls.
Right. Yep. That's amazing.
And then I was also on the tenant association board. Uh-huh. They had a junior board, and then as you grew older, you can get on that board. And then I was on the community center first board that was elected. And then I was also on the tenant board. That mm-hmm. means the whole housing development. I was elected to serve on that board. But I used to play hooky from school, and I don't encourage that.
No.
But when I played hooky, I walked the picket lines with I'm 1199 at 14 years old. I was a guardian angel when Mayor Koch mistreated the homeless. I slept in Gracie Mansion in cardboard boxes when they closed down Greenpoint Hospital and Cumberland Hospital to make it one hospital at Woodhall. Before it was Woodhall, they wanted to put a prison. Mm-hmm. I marched at 13 and a half, maybe 14 years old. I marched so that we wouldn't put a prison in the middle of our neighborhood. Amazing. And then when I marched with 1199, because they turned it into a hospital, they closed three hospitals, put them together, and then they started firing people, letting people go, so the hospital didn't have enough people. So at 14, I was walking the picket line. So I've been involved in politics a long time.
Yes, you have been. So we got a little crackle. I don't know if you're on a cell or a landline, but it's just a little crackly. So I don't know if you can try to get that fixed. But your story is amazing. And I can tell you, I'm listening and taking notes here. And I will say that I heard you speak before, and I do remember some of these comments. But you've been a lifelong activist. What inspired a young person to want to get involved at that age?
Believe it or not, I'm going to make you laugh. And I'm trying to get on my other phone to get it up and running so okay. I can get on it.
Yeah, that's fine. Keep going.
So it wasn't crackling too yep. bad so that you can hear me.
Yep.
What happened was the community center, Bushwick Island Community Center, had all these programs for kids. That's why I advocate for teenagers to have these programs. Mm-hmm. Well, I wasn't on the street, so we had dance class. Right. We had ballet and jazz and tap and poetry, but I didn't want to go. Mm-hmm. So they said, well, what do you want to do? They called me Little Miss Busybody. Mm-hmm. What do you want to do? I said, I want to know where the money come from. Because somebody got to be paying for this. I was 10.
That's wild. That's wild.
And they was like, well, you need to go to dance class. And I said, black people already know how to dance. I need to learn.
Interesting. So you actually were calling out and challenging, in a sense, back then. You were challenging the system then. You weren't accepting status quo,
yes.
or just go ahead. Why don't you go dance, little girl? You wanted to know answers.
That's right. And then when I went to Lower East Side Prep, now I can admit the truth because I'm an adult. Mm-hmm. We went to school with a high Asian population at alternative high school, mm-hmm. and the blacks, whites, and Latinos were being mistreated. And then I started writing things about it, and we let the media in the school. And that brought back all the stuff that I was taught.
Uh-huh.
They kicked me out of the school. Mm-hmm. But then I went to Westside High School up on 103rd. And Jim Murphy and Rosa Ellis and the principal died. And Ed Reynolds was the first person to ever ask me what I wanted to be.
Okay.
And I said I wanted to be a pastor. Those of you know that mm-hmm. I became a pastor. And I still was a part of politics. Mm-hmm. Usually it's a hard thing to balance, mm-hmm. but God gives you the grace to do so.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what I did.
Interesting pathway into the political world. And so into the Connecticut politics, you got to Connecticut. What year did you actually arrive here in Connecticut from New York?
I got married and moved here in 2005. Got divorced and moved to Meriden.
Okay, well, welcome, and you know, things happen in life, and you're here now, and you're in the Meriden area, and obviously, you're committed enough to put your name on the line. Are you still serving as a pastor?
Yes, I am. I run Serenity House Ministries. We are a ministry of no walls. What that means is that we don't need a building. We got enough buildings. Mm-hmm. I'm a hands-on pastor, mm-hmm. so that means if you have an issue and you call me, I will figure it out.
There it is right there. Somebody that can get it done.
I believe that Jesus went outside the church. He didn't stay inside the wall. And I can't preach. I went to school, theology, up on the Refuge Temple Council of Churches. But Metro Ministries taught me something more of an evangelistical thing. You know, you never know what the needs of the people are unless you go to them. So I go to the people. We've, over the past years, we've served every year for 5 years, 600 families during the holidays, you know, Christmas, Easter, and Thanksgiving, because we find children don't eat when those holidays come along. Some people say, well, she did it because it was Thanksgiving and Christmas. Mm-hmm. No, I did it because children are hungry.
Right.
We also did a backpack program in the summer. I love barbecues and ice cream parties and junk food. I'm a big girl. I'm a junk food eater. I know it's a bad habit.
Well, I just say it
but
like it
I
is.
Remember what the little boy said. I like you. I said, you're fat, like me. He said, yeah. I said, that's why you like me. He said, no, you give the good junk. I said, what do you mean? He said, you don't give those popsicles. I mean, all the nasty ones that drip down your shirt, that give you dye on your clothes and you can't get out.
Yeah,
those are nasty. Your mother should learn to keep on it. And then I had a bad little boy. That he was 5 cussing me out.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, he cussed me out. I said, baby, can you spell any of that? Because in my house, if you can't spell it, you can't say it.
Uh-huh. I got it. That's awesome.
And we did that for about 5-6 years. I did public housing because everybody said public housing were where the gangs were. But what I found was when you interact with people and they know that you came up just like them, I like to say I'm the American dream. I grew up in foster care.
Mm-hmm.
My parents wasn't all that great.
Mm-hmm.
They got better as I got older, but they didn't understand me.
Mm-hmm.
I was different. You know, come on, who plays hooky at 13 years old to go on a picket line?
Not many.
Who
not
plays
many.
Hooky to go with the Guardian Angels? And by the way, Curtis Wheeler did not know I was that young.
Mm-hmm.
I was just one of them girls that was well developed and went on.
Mm-hmm.
So I just believe that I'm a constitutionalist. I believe in the Constitution of the United States. I also believe that both parties,
mm-hmm.
Republicans and Democrats, have done us wrong.
Right.
And when they passed the Eversource deal, take a look at it.
Right.
It was Republicans and Democrats.
And, you know, we're going to be coming back right from this break right here, actually. We're going to have a break in about 30 seconds. So will you stay on with me? Because we got about 8 minutes to hear your story. Will you be able to hang with us?
Absolutely.
All right. Thank you. I don't want to cut you off, but I have a hard break here and I don't want to have it sound a little silly with you talking. Your story is amazing. We definitely are learning so much about Ernestine and her pathway, not just to Connecticut, but to her decision to actually serve the state of Connecticut in this upcoming election in the 82nd district. This is a really interesting candidate. I want you guys to stay tuned here on News Rocky. We're taking on the fake news and the news of the day, and we're having a great interview with Ernestine Holloway, who's going to be coming back after the break to talk about her campaign this year, her life story. Very interesting stuff, guys. Today's a great day here on News Rocky. Stay tuned. Be back in a few.
Don't you worry, Kevin Schoolcheck will be back to fight more fake news in just a minute or so. Kevin is just taking a quick break, but he'll be back to fight more fake news for you. Kevin, we'll be back in just a minute.
Kevin Skulchek is fighting the war on fake news. He'll be back to take some more on in just a couple of minutes. Keep it right here. Kevin is just taking a quick break, but he'll be back to fight more fake news for you. Kevin, we'll be back in just a minute.
Listen online or on our app.
Yesterday's best rock today.
Can't get enough of it.
Yesterday's best rock today.
The opinions expressed on News Rocky with Kevin Skulchek is not necessarily those of this station, staff, management, or sponsors.
And welcome back to News Rocky. We're here live in the SNSN studio. News Rocky's coming to you every day, Monday through Friday, 10 a.m. to 12 p.m. On the phone with us, we have a really awesome guest, Ernestine Holloway. I'm sorry, I called you Holloway. I actually, there's a bunch of Hollowaddies up here. I think that's why I did it. But Ernestine, you still with us?
Yes, I am.
Your story, I'm getting people that are sending me messages, and they want more of you. They're getting all wound up hearing you talk. So why don't we stay in the lane here? We kind of went through the, your childhood and got you up to Connecticut. You're still serving God, and you're doing it in a way. You're also a constitutionalist, as you just said. You're also someone who I think you believe in law enforcement. You believe in the law of the land. Is that correct?
Yes. Let me tell you something. Well, we've been defunding no police. And I'm going to tell you, Black people and Latino people did not say that. We don't like social workers. So I don't know why in heaven would somebody think that we want social workers coming to our house. Mm-hmm. We don't like DCF now, because you imagine them showing up at our door.
Mm-hmm. I agree.
So that idea didn't come from us. Now, I did have some issues with the police department and in Middlefield. If you do some homework on me, 2 years ago, the state troopers pulled me over and harassed me. Mm-hmm. But we found out that they were working for the Democratic Lieutenant Governor Bicewicz.
Mm-hmm. Really?
Other than that, I think the police are fine. Now, do we got some bad apples out of 100%? I would say 15% of them. Mm-hmm. None of us would like. But the other 85% mm-hmm. are wholesome, good people.
Right.
We can't throw out the baby and the bathwater.
Exactly. Really good point on that. So who inspired this, you think, though? Who inspired this energy towards, I mean, let's put it out there, right? We have this energy in this country, and let's face it, George Floyd, the president of the United States brings in
now,
energy.
This was before, this, let me explain it to you like this. This has been going on for years. This is not new. Right. I want the American people to listen up and do their homework. Stop believing what me or anybody says and do your homework. This started up with the Weather Underground group. This was the Black Panthers on one side that were Black. And the Weather Underground group that was Ohio and all in the Midwest, they were the same group. They were just different colors doing the same thing. So then the Black Panthers got the attention and they got arrested. And so did the Weather Underground group, which you didn't know. So the Weather Underground group broke up. It became ACT UP. If anybody remember ACT UP, that was sponsored by the LGBTQ and all the other crazy folks. And what they did was they changed their name And after they changed their name, they became Antifa. Mm-hmm. And so what Antifa did was, it didn't have any Black and Latinos people, and we joined anything mm-hmm. that looks good, and they offered us money, mm-hmm. which came from Planned Parenthood, because all of this is the eugenics movement. And what they did was they gobbled up all the small Black groups, brought them under one umbrella, and then you got Black Lives Matter. So I don't like to say that term. I say Black People Matter. Black mm-hmm. Lives Matter is a terrorist organization group.
Interesting comments from you. Wow.
And this is how, but I'm going to tell you something. I've had run-ins with them three times. Mm-hmm. The first time I asked the question, I said, well, where the heck are all the Black people at? And everybody started laughing. Mm-hmm. Then the lady told me I was a sellout. There's a video out there about this. She called me a sellout. I said, so you're saying I'm selling out to the same party that has desecrated my neighborhood and haven't done anything? My neighborhood looks decrepit, worse than what it did 20 years ago. Right. And you upset with me because you keep putting them in office? No. Then when I met up with them again, they called me a sellout. They looked at me and, you know, yelled and screamed. And I started laughing because I thought they were funny. Mm-hmm. Until one of them said that he was going to slap me and I had to get away from the Capitol. And I said, baby, if you slap me, I promise you, you'll slap nobody else.
You
I said, I pay taxes like everybody else,
yeah.
and I'm going to stand in this Capitol just like you. And then I had to put my hands in my pocket because he began to curse me, and he was 20 years old. Mm-hmm. I wanted to just pop him in the mouth, but then that would be illegal. So I put my hands in back of me, and the Capitol Police came out and broke up the argument.
So you've been experiencing this. You just made some really big things. Listen, we're going to end the show.
Let me tell you this.
Go ahead.
This is important. Okay, I had a run-in with Black Lives Matter and Willimantic.
Okay.
They weren't white. They were Cuban, mm-hmm. Haitian, mm-hmm. Puerto Rican, Dominican, mm-hmm. and African-American. And I knew I was going to get jumped.
Okay.
But that day was interesting because my feet was hurting so bad, I sat down. I listened to that little whisper that God tells me, no, I want you to sit down and be still and watch something. And what I saw was, it was fine until the older people came mm-hmm. and ripped up the young people. Mm-hmm. Then I watched it. What bothered me was, everybody has a right to freedom of their opinion. Mm-hmm. Being a constitutionalist, I may not agree with you, but you have a right to march. Mm-hmm. You don't have a right to burn down a city. You don't have a right to tear down a city. That's wrong. And you don't have the right to block highways, because then you should go to jail, because yeah. that's a federal offense and against the state statute. Excuse me. But then my problem was, the young lady lifted her leg like a little dog, mm-hmm. like Cardi B did in her video, and she started humping like a dog. Now, I'm a mother and a woman. Forget politics for a minute. Yeah. I said, baby girl, I fight for the right for you to march and say what you said. She was saying, F the president. I laughed at her. She's 20. Mm-hmm. She said, wet behind the ears. I just looked at her and shook my head. And then she said, I feel like kicking your behind. And I said, and she started cussing at me, and I started laughing. I said, sweetheart, I said, it took me a long time to get here. Mm-hmm. And I grew up in them projects. I said, I'm going to show you why I'm an OG. Because if you put your hands on me, I'm not only going to whoop your tail, I'm going to whoop your mama's tail. After I whoop yours, I'm going to go get your mama because she should have taught you better.
So you're going to tell me that this is the Black Lives Matter Street Units. And by the way, we only have 2 minutes, so I want to direct people to where they can find you as well. This is crazy, this story.
You can look me up, Make Way for Holloway. Matter of fact, we just had the 82nd House District debate. It's a candidate forum. You can look for it on YouTube. By the way, I want you to know I'm injured. Both so my feet are damaged. Mm-hmm. I ran for office 4 years straight.
Right.
And last year I knocked on 11,300 doors.
Oh,
I did it myself with a driver.
Wow.
And this year when I went to go knock on doors for the primary, mm-hmm. my feet were damaged. Mm-hmm. I have spurs that are supposed to go sideways are going up in my kidneys. So I need help knocking on doors.
Okay.
So if you got the time, mm-hmm. I'm your candidate. I believe in we the people. I'm a member of CCDL. I'm a member of, because I believe in the right to bear arms.
Mm-hmm.
I'm pro-choice when it comes to parental rights. I'm anti-vaccines. That's a parent's right to decide. And I don't believe the governor should be giving money to the abortion people that are located strategically in poor neighborhoods that kill African American, black and brown babies. They killed 60 million babies.
Will you think about, as we get close to the break here, I want to say thank you for coming on. Will you come back on with us? We literally have 30 seconds left. Can I get you back on to talk?
Yes, but if you want to help me,
yep.
Look for me. Make Way for Holloway, 2020.com is the website. If you want to hit me up on Facebook, it's ErnestineHolloway. Do not send me any friend requests. Send it to my box.
All right, that's awesome right there. So we want to say thank you and best of wishes during this campaign. Guys, we're winding down. This is News Rocky. It was an action-packed Friday. We'll be back on Monday. Please tune in. News.